I'm glad you're here today. We have been in the book of John for a while now, quite some time, and we're almost completed. See, when I do these messages, it starts out as a sermon, and it just kind of grows. And sometimes it stays as a sermon, sometimes it turns into a 2-week deal, and sometimes it turns into a 4-week deal. It's just so much good stuff. And today, what we talked about in the first week, because I have I think we have a PowerPoint slide. We talked about in the first week the power of the sameness, the consistency, how repetition creates habits, right? Good or bad. And the idea is to create some good habits, consistency in good ways, the power of same. And who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus is. He is the author of sameness. Then the second week we talked about the problem is the pattern. A lot of times we look at the issue in our life and we think, well, that's my problem. When in fact, that's not the problem. That's just the result of a bad pattern that led to that problem. And so the problem is not the issue. The problem is the pattern. If you want a different result, we're going to have to go back and change the pattern, right? Last week we talked a while about that as we do that and we go back and we start working on these patterns and changing these patterns, we need to understand that this may take a while. It's not something that we're going to go home. It could, but I'm saying it may not be something that we go home today saying, yep, this is the way I'm going to change. Cold turkey. And then tomorrow, I'm a brand new person. Okay? It happens. It happens. But sometimes that's what we want. And sometimes we have to understand it just takes a while. Today, I want to talk about the secret of sustainable success. Many times in our lives, we can point back and say, yep, that was a success. That was a success. That was a success. And they're good things. I mean, that's great. But then also often, sometimes in our lives, we can look at that great success and then look at it like 3 weeks later and it didn't sustain itself. It was great while it lasted, but it just didn't last, right? As we look at our patterns and recognize the need for change, how do we make changes that last? We don't really want to be wishy-washy and vacillate between progress and going backwards, but it can get discouraging sometimes, yes? In John chapter 15, where we've been, there's three verses I want to read to you today. Verses 4, 5, and then verse number 16. I'm on the wrong page. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5 says this. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And then verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Fruit that will last. Isn't that what we want? Fruit that lasts, that goes on and on and on, that proves success. Yeah, and I'm not limiting success to anything. I'm talking about a successful life, which includes a whole spectrum of things. What is the secret of sustainable success? You might want to write this down. This is good. This is good. Your success is only as sustainable as its source. Amen. I'll say it again. Your success is only as sustainable as its source. If your success is based on your bank account, guess what happens when your bank account runs dry? If your success is based on feelings that you have for somebody, guess what happens those feelings, they change. If your success is based on what somebody else thinks about you and somebody else's definition of success in your life, guess what? Those things change. Those opinions change. Your success is only as sustainable as its source. If you have success without roots, it's possible that your talent will take you where your character can't keep you. On any given day, you can read the news about some high-profile, successful person who's in trouble with the law, being sued for harassment, marriage is falling apart, and so on. You see, they lacked the character to keep them where their talent had taken them. They just could not sustain it because their source was flawed. That type of success will always be short-lived. It'll always be short-lived. But that's not the type of success that God has envisioned for you. His plans for you include spiritual staying power, sustainability. Remain. If you base your success on the opinions of others, guess what happens when those opinions change? And just for your information, most opinions do change. I want to base my success on the opinion of the one who never changes. That's the power of same. That's consistent. That's constant. There's a word I want to emphasize today, and the word is constant. Okay? In order to sustain, you need some constants in your life. In math, they talk about you have constants and you have variables. Variables do what? They change. 2x plus 1 equals, well, you don't know the answer because not because of the 1 and not because of the 2, it's because of the x, right? But 1 is a constant. No matter what you come up with here, when you add the constant to it, the constant never changes. Constant. I want to talk about constant today. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." That must mean there must be a fake vine somewhere. Yeah? A fake vine, possibly an image of yourself that you created, or an image of you that somebody else created. And you feel the need to live up to it. The fake vine of doing things in your own strength. I got to pull this off. I can do this. It's up. If it is to be, it's up to me. You know that old, has anybody ever said that? I've said that before. God, and sometimes God says, "Let me show you how this really works, Pastor." There are many, many fake vines, but Jesus is the true vine. Constant. What is constant? Constant is something that never, ever changes. And so when I ask you a question this morning, what is constant in your life? What never changes in your life? In Romans 15, verses 4 through 6, I've got this on the screen. You're not going to recognize this probably because this is from it's called The Message. It is a paraphrase of Scripture written by William Peterson. And he took it and he wrote the entire Scripture, kind of reworded it, kind of without changing the meanings, just kind of put it in modern, fresh language. And in this passage from The Message, there's a couple things in here that really stuck out. It says, even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it was written for us. God wants the combination of His steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come to characterize us. Isn't this cool? This is like a preacher's dream. There's three C's there. And guess what I'm going to talk about today? Each one of them. Keeping us alert for whatever He will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Okay? It's a little, just a paraphrase on the passage of Scripture. I'm always careful not to call the message Scripture because it's not a very accurate translation, okay? But it also was very helpful as a companion to kind of go to and get a fresh thought and maybe explain some things in modern language. Okay, so if you're gonna go and you're gonna buy one Bible, I'm gonna recommend that you get a book of Scripture in if you like King James, New International Version, New American Standard Version, Holman Christian Standard. There are several versions out there that are very good and very accurate. Okay, if you're gonna buy two, I would recommend maybe getting one of these, the Message, to have also. Calling, counsel, and character. I'm going to talk about those three C's, okay? So guess how many points I have this morning? 3 points. Calling. A constant calling. You see, you can't wait on circumstances to confirm your calling. A lot of times, we want that. We say, okay, this is my calling, and if it's right, then the circumstances will prove it. Well, that's not always the case. We all have the same calling. Did you know that? Every one of us, you, me, the person next to you, the people out working with the kids out in the back, the people that are sick at home, we have the same constant calling. Here's what it is: to know Christ and to make Him known. Every single one of us have that calling. Whether you're in a one-on-one situation over a cup of coffee somewhere, or whether you're preaching to 100 people, or 70 people, or 60 people, like me, or you're preaching to a gazillion people like somebody like Ed Young does. Okay? Doesn't matter. The same calling: to know Christ and to make Him known. Don't devalue your calling. It is vital for you to understand that there is a constant calling on our lives, on my life and on your life. You see, circumstances, like we said, they don't dictate your calling. You remember David, little shepherd boy? This is before they called him King David. He was just a little shepherd boy. And there was a battle going on. And his dad sent him to the battle line and said, "Here, take some food to your brothers. They're doing battle up there. They're getting ready to battle. They're at the front lines. Take some food to them and then hurry back home." Okay, and David shows up and he sees this giant named Goliath. He had never seen a giant like Goliath before. Not that we know of. The whole Israelite army was scared. I mean, they wouldn't even go up and stand close to him. And he was out there shouting at them and cursing at them and daring them and triple dog daring them and everything. And they were scared. And David shows up and says, "Who is this dude?" And I love it when he approached the king and he said this. Because, you see, the circumstances were different, but David knew what his calling was. And he said to the king, he said, "The same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand." You see, it was different circumstances, but the calling was the same. It was a constant calling because it came from the constant God. Raising children is a calling. Did you know that? You're called to be his or her parent when they're cute and cuddly. Yeah? Right? And we like that part. And we love it when they're cute and cuddly. But you're also called to be their parent when they're more like the lion and the bear. Yeah? The same mama who changed your diaper is the same mama who will find out who your friends are. The same mama who will expect you to be home on time and keep your room clean. The same mama. Different circumstances, same calling. The calling doesn't change even when the circumstances do. A calling is something you do when you feel like it. And it's also something you do when you don't feel like it. It is not based on circumstances. Have I made that point clear yet? It's not based on circumstances. Because if circumstances change, your calling... If the circumstances change your calling, then it wasn't really a calling. It was more like of a fad or a fashion or a phase. But a calling is constant. A calling is something you just have to do, and you don't know what you could do if you just couldn't do that thing. You just got to do it. The second thing I want to talk about is character. Constant character. Do you have any core convictions? Core convictions, that's the stuff that holds you together when the circumstances shake you. The things that don't change. See, there needs to be constant character. Constant character, like I'm this person, whether I'm watched by one person or by 100 people or by nobody. And I'm the same. I'm the constant. My character is not dictated by the circumstances. My character is not up for vote. My character is not up for decision. It's my core. What are your core convictions? Things like honor. Who you are no matter what others say or do. Generosity. Did you know that generosity is unconditional? If your generosity is based on merit or something else, that's reward. That's not generosity. Generosity is unconditional. I'm going to do this for this other person regardless of what they do. That's what generosity is. And that's why I preach about the tithe. I want to make something very clear this morning. We need to understand that our tithe is not our generosity. It's not our generosity. It's a recognition of God's generosity is what it is. We need to give Him the first fruits because it establishes God as the source, the constant source of our success. And you may be asking, but tithe, that's 10%. Isn't 10% a lot? Isn't 10% a lot? Well, isn't 90% a lot? Which is more, 10% or 90%? 90% is a whole lot more percent than 10%, right? And God says, keep your 90% and enjoy it. Use it. Make good decisions with it. Keep it. Oh, come on, man. You go to a restaurant, where does a tip start? Tip starts at 15%, right? All God's asking for is 10%. Not because He needs it, but He asks for it because He knows that we need to be reminded that God is our source. You see, tithing triggers trust. And if you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, I want to learn to trust God, I'm going to tell you, start with 10%. Start with, and Scripture says, test me in this. God says, test me in this. And see what happens. See if I don't throw open the storehouses of heaven and fill you up so much you can't even contain it. From 10%. Test God in this, He says. He will grow your trust through your obedience. You see, it's not really the tithing. It's not really a financial thing as it is a trust thing. There are other character traits, character things like integrity. How do you speak with people? Do you speak more favorably to people than you do about them? You see, when you're in front of somebody, are you all kind and cuddly and warm and praises? And then when they leave and you talk to somebody else, and you say, that yahoo, let me tell you what they did, that turkey. Or some other colorful words sometimes get thrown in there. I have a list. I just did an internet search on character traits, and I'm going to read some of these off to you. These are the things, when we're talking about core values that don't change, that's what makes up your character. Things like concern, consistency, courage, diligence, faithfulness, forgiveness, gentleness, humility, kindness, optimism, perseverance, thoroughness, trustworthiness, appreciation, commitment, confidence, contentment, dependability, discernment, mercifulness, patience, punctuality. Did you know that can be a character? Punctuality? Respect. Self-control, compassion, decisiveness, determination, direction, honesty, joyfulness, loyalty, purpose, responsibility, sincerity, temperance. Character. What is your core character? Your constant character. Those things that don't change. You know, honesty is not honest in certain situations and dishonest in others. That's just dishonest. You'll be labeled as a dishonest person, right? I can contain my temper in these situations, and I don't contain my temper at home or in these situations. You're not a person of temperance. You don't have that core conviction within you. If you did, you would be that way constantly, no matter what the circumstances are. You see, we're talking about constants, things that don't change. The third thing I want to talk to you this morning about is counsel, constant counsel. And when we see this word counsel, talking with other people, seeking advice, what kind of stuff, I want to use another word that starts with C, so it fits in good. But I want to use connection, okay? Constant connection, constant counsel, constant connections. Scripture says that bad company corrupts good character. We've been talking about character, right? Who you are. Oh, wait. Let me start all over. I messed it up. You are who you hang with. You ever heard that? I've said that. I've told my kids that. You are who you hang with. Who you befriend, who you hang with, who you spend a lot of time with, you begin to take on the characteristics of those other people. You see, you need a constant support system. I need a constant support system. And Jesus said, I am the vine. I am the support system. When in a vine, where does the nutrients come from? The leaves, they take in the sunlight and the carbon, whatever it is. It's been a long time. But they do the photosynthesis stuff and all that. But the nutrients, they come from the ground, from the roots up. It travels up through the sap, right? That is the source. You can cut it. And no matter if it has leaves on it or not, the leaves aren't going to last without the source. We need the constant source. Jesus is the vine. But in order to be healthy fruit, you also need to be growing around some good fruit. Apples. Apples used to be shipped and stored in barrels. Okay? And they had this saying because sometimes the apples would go bad. And so the saying is that one bad apple can spoil the whole barrel. And it's true of most fruits. They put off this gas that triggers it speeds up the process, and actually it's a degrading process, and it starts to rot fruit. If you take some bananas, I think it's true with bananas, but if you take three ripe bananas, good green, turning yellow bananas, and you put them with one that's turning brown, those bananas will start to turn brown a lot faster than if you just took the bad one out and left them alone on the counter. It's true with apples, with most other fruits. They put off this gas, and it begins to trigger the rotting process. And I want to tell you that the attitudes, the characters, and the habits that you rub up against can begin to spoil your own habits, attitudes, and character. One bad apple spoils a barrel. Yeah. One bad attitude spoils a room full of attitudes. This thing that we do on Sundays and Wednesdays, this thing we call worship, it's important. Because you get to rub up against other good fruit. And let me say that worship is good for that. This time from 10:30 to 11 whatever-ish is good for that, okay? But if you're not plugged into a Bible study group, you're missing out on something. I will say that. That's where relationships are built and connections are made. We have several Bible study groups here at Dolan, also known as Sunday School. And if we need to start more, we will. We've just added some more space. It's not quite ready yet, but it will be. And so we can grow our Bible study groups. Our motto here at Dolan Baptist Church is love up and love out. Constant connections, one that lasts. When we love up and we love out, we make those connections. We make those connections. I can tell you honestly, just as honest as I can, that my very best friends are from my church families. I have some lifelong friends that we made over in Tomball, and I still keep in great close contact with them. But we met in a Sunday school class upstairs in the old part of the building, and it was a great time. We hung out together. We did things together. Friendships that last. We need constant connections with other godly people. Husbands and wives, We'll talk to you for just a second. Or newly engaged couples, as the case may be. You need to be a constant in your marriage. Matter of fact, when you took a vow, or when you will take a vow, there'll be some words used, such as for better or for worse, right? In sickness or in health, for richer or for poorer, young age or old, or when I like you and when I don't. Constant. Even when I don't like you very much, I'm still going to be a constant in our relationship. I'm still going to be there. I'm still going to be supportive. I'm still going to love you. That's constant. In Matthew 26, I don't have this on the screen, do I? I don't think so. Okay, but just listen, because I'm going to kind of tell you the story. Jesus is, they've had the final, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper before his crucifixion, before they went out to the garden. And in Matthew 26, verse 30, I'm just going to read these few verses to you. So just listen up. It says here that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd of the sheep, and the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Then Peter, good old Peter, he replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I never will." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Now, we have this thing we're talking about constant, right? I never will. I will always be there. Even if all of the other ones fall away, not me. I'm constant, right? Here's something I want you to know about constant. Jesus told them, "Yeah, you're going to fall away." "No, not me. Yeah, you will. But when you come back, I'll meet you in Galilee. I'll be there waiting on you." You see, Jesus was telling them, it's okay. I understand. You see, because here's the truth, Peter. You're not the constant, and I know that. But what you need to know is that I am the constant. I am the constant. It's not your love for me that is the constant. It's my love for you that is the constant. It's my love for you that doesn't change. So what's the secret of sustainable success? It's not your ability to maintain your love for Jesus, but your willingness to remain in his love for you. Remain in my love. It's not your love, but it's his love. It's not your calling, but it's his calling. It's not your character, but it's his character. It's not your counsel and connections, but it's his counsel and constant connection to him. You see, he's the constant. Where we are wishy-washy, we vacillate, we fail, Jesus never fails. And he says, "I am the constant. My love is constant for you, so remain in my love." Like John chapter 15 says, remain in my love. And that's why we worship him. That's why we worship Jesus Christ, because he is constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is nothing more constant than that, so remain in something that is absolutely and eternally constant. He will never fail you. He will never quit on you. He will never stop loving you. He will never, ever leave you. So remain. 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 Remain in something that is more constant than anything you've ever, ever known. Now, let me tell you something, too. If you've never experienced that constant love for you, It's not because it's not there. It's because, like we talked about last week, it's because you're not in it. And if you've never experienced God's love for you through Jesus Christ, today is your day. You can step into the downpour of God's love for you and experience it fresh and new. And if you have stepped out of it for some reason, guess what? It's still flowing. You can come back and get right back in the middle of that love that flows from God our Father and just be wet from top to bottom and love it. He's constant. What's a secret of sustainable success? Realizing that it's not up to me. I mean, I'm going to do my part, but I'm going to base my success on something that is constant. Not necessarily what have I done, but what has He done for me? Not how much do I love Him, but how much does He love me? He's the one that matters. He is the only thing that is constant in this whole world. He loves you. He loves you. If you walk out of here and hear nothing else today, hear this. God's love for you is constant. He's constantly loving you. Are you experiencing it? Are you? Success. The world has a definition of success. God has a different definition of success. His success is based on Him in you. The world's success is what everybody else thinks about you. I'm going to choose God's success. Him in me. The scripture we read said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't want to be a nothing. I don't want to be a nobody. I want to be a somebody. Not because of who Michael Nix is, but because of who Jesus Christ is in Michael Nix. Because I'll have way more success if I base my success on who He is rather than who I am. Because I know who I am. I know where my faults are, where my frailties are, where my failures are. Jesus doesn't have them. So I'm going to base my success on Him. That's the secret of success, folks. Realizing that we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus Christ. We need Him. You need Him. Whether you know it or not, you need Him. Are you willing to come to Him and say, I do need you. I do need you. Because the truth is, I've experienced failures in my life. I have. You have. And guess what? You will continue to experience failures in your life from time to time because it's based on circumstances. God's saying, I'm constant. Remain in me and you'll have constant love. You'll have constant affirmation. I don't change like the shifting shadows. I don't change. There's only one thing that is constant. The only one thing that doesn't change, and that is Jesus Christ. Will you come to Him? Will you give your life to Him? Will you come back to Him? Will you stop looking to see what everybody else thinks about me and say, Jesus, you matter more than them. What do you think about me? And what do I need to do? What do I need to change in my patterns to make you more pleased with me? Because you're the one I want to please. We sing, we praise, we worship, we work. We do all of this for an audience of one, and that is Him. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Remember, it's not how much you love Him, but it's how much you recognize His love for you. Are you in the flow? Are you in the groove? Are you in the rain? Are you in the downpour of God's love for you? Oh, if you are, friend, bask in it. Enjoy it. Lather up. Just stay in it. If you're not there, oh, just come back. It's free entry. You don't even have to drop a dime in the slot machine or in the pay toll thing to get into God's love. You just come in. Will you come today? Will you come today? He is constant. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father, Lord, You are the same. You are constant. And as we look at how to look at our lives and the patterns that we've seen that lead to some fruit that we're not satisfied with, and we recognize the need to change some of those patterns, Father, help us to realize that the secret to lasting change is not what we do in our own strength and in our own power, but relying on you working in and through us to accomplish those things for your glory, not for ours. Father, help us to see that when there are some things that need to happen, some things that need to change, we need to rely on you. And Father, you are faithful. You are faithful to continue the work in us that you began long ago. And Father, we put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Respond as the Spirit calls. The altar is open. I'm here to pray with you. Rebecca's here to pray with you. If you want to go pray with somebody else, you do that. This is your time. Would you respond? See?